When you take Joretta not prescribed, that is self-medication. When you take a drug from your neighbor that was prescribed for your neighbor, not for you, that is self-medication. When you buy a drug or you prescribe the drug and you get the drug and take half of it and you feel better and you kept the remaining half and your neighbor is feeling the same thing that you're feeling and you give the drug to your neighbor, that is self-medication. When you go to a herbal store or whatever store to buy drugs on your own without consulting the herbal doctor, as the case may be, that is self-medication. Welcome to another interesting episode of the Pharmacist Watch podcast. We are podcasting all the way from our studio here in Lagos, and today we are going to be discussing a very interesting topic: self-medication and medicine sharing. My name is Pharmacist CJ, your neighborhood pharmacist. I welcome you to this episode. What are the reasons why one should not self-medicate or one should not share a drug? There are so many reasons why one should not share a drug with somebody or self-medicate. Now, one reason is this. The symptoms might look alike, but they are not the same. You might have cold, cough, catarrh, maybe stomach pain and what have you. And you think, oh, this is what I was having last time, and that doctor wrote this particular drug for me, or that pharmacist recommended this particular drug for me. And then, based on that, you go and buy that particular drug again and use it, or you recommend it for somebody, maybe your neighbor or your wife or your daughter or your church member, to take that same medication. That is self-medication. You have to understand that illnesses can have similar symptoms, but they are different. For instance, the symptoms for typhoid, for pneumonia and malaria are similar, but they are not the same. So maybe when you went to a doctor the last time, he diagnosed you of malaria and then give you malaria medicines, as the case may be, and then you took it and you were fine. And then you now see your neighbor who is having similar symptoms, and then you say, oh, when I had this kind of thing, so-and-so drug was prescribed for me, and based on that, you recommend the drug for your neighbor. And meanwhile, your neighbor might be having pneumonia or even typhoid or even common cold. You understand? And you find out that your neighbor is going to buy those drugs and it's not going to work for them. So all these things are not good because they are self-medication. I once had an experience with somebody that came to see me in the office, and she said she was having typhoid and she got a fluoroquinolone from her neighbor and she started taking the drug. But then she told me that when she was taking that drug, she now realized that it is not typhoid that is wrong with her. It's actually a spiritual attack. Because when she started taking the drug after 2 days, and then she started praying, and then all of a sudden that she began to have these nightmares. She just, you know, she's not really sleeping. She would just see herself flying. She would see things coming out from the wall. She would see herself wearing masquerade. That was when she knew that this thing was not just a ordinary typhoid, though. It's serious attack. And then she had to go into fasting, went to camp, and then she's back now. But now she's very weak, that she's very, very weak. And I mean, you know, probably from the fasting she faces, from the fasting, but that those dreams, they have stopped. Those bad dreams have stopped. And then she has, you know, gone to the lab to do a test, and they told her that it was typhoid and then just malaria. Of course, you know, in this part of the world, wherever you go, they think you are having malaria and typhoid. But the point what I want to point out is that this woman is not having spiritual attack as she has claimed. What she's having is a side effect of the drug that she was taking, the fluoroquinolone, like the ciprofloxacin. This ciprofloxacin, many of them have nightmares as a side effect. So this woman started taking ciprofloxacin from her neighbor, and then she began to have nightmares, and then she thought it was a spiritual attack and now had to go to the camp and do fasting and what have you. Why is she having this problem? It's because she's self-medicating. If she had, you know, come to me or seen a pharmacist with the report of this drug, she wouldn't have spent all her money going to do fasting, going to the camp, being away from work and what have you, because, well, I'm just explaining to her that, okay, sorry, maybe you should not be taking ciprofloxacin if you are not comfortable with the nightmares. Even I myself, as a pharmacist, when I take ciprofloxacin, I have nightmares. So unless maybe I feel okay, I don't have any problem with the nightmares, I can go ahead with it, then that's fine. But taking a fluoxetine alone, like ciprofloxacin, can give nightmares in some persons. So it's not a spiritual attack. One other reason why it's not advisable to self-medicate or share medicines is because of hypersensitivity. You know, there are people that take certain drug and they're hypersensitive to that drug. For instance, we all remember a very popular story, you know, some few years back of a girl that took a cotrimoxazole, what people refer to, you know, very popularly as Septrin, and then she was hypersensitive to it. She bought it from a patent medicine dealer, as you know, as an investigation letter discovered. And then she took it, and as she reacted, she went back to the patent medicine dealer, and then the man said, oh, the thing did not catch the thing very, very well, so you need to load them very well. And then she was given more of that drug, and of course we know how that that little girl ended. She had an anaphylactic reaction, and she was burnt, you know, she was charred to death because of hypersensitive reaction. Now, it's advisable for you not to self-medicate. When you take a medicine and you begin to feel something that is not there before, it's advisable that you talk to your pharmacist about that drug. You understand? Then it's within the prerogative of the pharmacist, okay, please stop this, taking this drug. Maybe you need to see your medical doctor, or maybe you need to go to general hospital, or maybe you need to go to the hospital, as the case may be. Please don't share medicines. Don't give medicine that is, don't give your own medicine to somebody because you feel both of you are having the same thing. You see, and for when we talk about medicine sharing as well, I have had a case of a lady who is hypertensive, and she's taking drug for BP. And one of the drugs she was taking for BP is a class of drug known as angiotensin converting enzyme inhibitors, ACEIs. And the name of the drug is lisinopril. And then she was taking it, and so it was very fine for her. And then she went to, then went for a prayer meeting or something, or a religious gathering. And then the disciple that come to check people's BP, like a medical outreach in their church. And then they tested her friend, her neighbor, or her friend, somebody close to her. They told her that the BP was high, and then she needs to, you know, take a drug or see a medical doctor, as the case may be. This woman now gave that woman her lisinopril to take. And then while she was taking this lisinopril, she was not getting, she was, the BP actually, when she went to a place, don't know where she went to check, the BP was dropping, but she had a serious problem, which she never attributed to the drug she was taking. She had a very serious hacking cough. She just keeps coughing. And then her friend happened to come to her place to get, to get some drug for an outreach, because they are into outreaches and stuff like that. And then she was just telling me, this friend has been coughing. I've been taking so many cough medication, but it's not going. Like, oh, seriously, what medication is he taking? So he's not taking, just taking minor drug for BP. I said, what drug are you taking for BP? He said, it's lisinopril. Of course, you need no sister to tell you that her cough is because of the lisinopril. But the woman who gave the drug and the one who is taking the drug, they have no idea that the problem, the cough that this woman is having, is because of the lisinopril that she's on. So the person who gave her the drug did not give her the drug in bad intention, but it's not within her prerogative, it's not within her capacity to recommend such drug to the person, to her friend. We have to pay attention to these things. Don't share your medicine. Don't self-medicate. Now, another reason why people should not self-medicate is because of inadequate dosing. For instance, there are some anti-malaria that their dosing are inadequate the way they came. You know, sometime last, maybe like 4 years ago, some reports were made, some investigations were made about an amodiaquine combination. And we discovered, you find that when you look at the WHO malaria guideline, you find out that something like pyrazine, for instance, somebody who is having a weight of 60 kg and below can take 333. Somebody who is having from 70 kg and above cannot take 333. It has to be like 444 or 455 as the weight progresses. Now, you find out that people feel that they have malaria and they just come in to a pharmacy without, or even walk into a patent medicine dealer, or walk into a pharmacy that has no pharmacist, or they can even come into a pharmacy that has a pharmacist, but they don't want to see the pharmacy. They just say, please give me so-and-so medicine, or For instance, say, give me pialazine, I'm having malaria. And the weight of such person might be like 80 something. And then they buy the normal pialazine and they go and start taking them. And you find out that it's not that the drug itself is not effective, but it's just that the weight of the person is too much for that drug. So you have the person begin to have an adequate dosing. But I'm very happy with Green Life now because they have made the pialazine for by 12. As it, you know, so that you, people don't have to spend money buying two packs, because you know, pharmacy has been known to recommend two packs, three packs, two packs of pialazine by nine, you know, for people to take. But the Green Life is a very responsible company, and they have done something about that, and we are very happy to hear that. So there are some other persons that also take inadequate dosing. For instance, I've had a case of a woman that was recommended some drugs in the hospital. They gave her, after giving her drip and injection and what have you, they gave her artesunate. And then, you know, artesunate tablets normally comes in 12 pieces. So she took like 3 or 4 out of it and she felt she was okay. And then she kept the rest. And then her neighbor had, you know, probably she had cold and cough and catarrh and what have you. And then she gave the remaining 8 artesunate and told the neighbor that this medicine is very, very powerful. I just took 4 out of it and I was fine. And then the neighbor started taking the artesunate. Now, of course, the situation was not getting better. The situation was getting worse. Her cough was getting worse. Her cold was getting worse. And then at the point, she had to, you know, come to the pharmacy and told us about it. And we recommended, okay, please go and run some tests and let's see. And when she ran some tests, there was no malaria. There was no typhoid. And so we had to, you know, recommend that she goes to the hospital. And saw her like 3 weeks later and she was quite okay. But what the point I'm trying to bring out is this. If the artesunate she was taking is 8. Now, the 8 artesunate is not even enough. The regimen is not enough. It has to be 12. And besides it not being enough, artesunate is a monotherapy. And the government is trying to advise that it's a monotherapy and it should no longer be used. You understand? If there is a need for malaria medicine, or the doctor has prescribed a malaria medicine for you, or a pharmacist has recommended a malaria medicine for you, it's always advisable. In fact, it's a must for the person who is taking the drug to take the artemisinin combination therapy, that is the ACT, is advisable. For instance, if you take something like artemether lumefantrine, there is a reason those drugs are combined, the artemether and then the lumefantrine. There's a reason both of them are combined together. And so it has to be taken, you know, one morning, one night for 3 days. Even if you take for a day or two and you feel better, it doesn't mean that you are better, that you are okay. You have to exhaust the drug. Please don't keep the drug to say, oh, I took for 2 days and it was powerful and it was fine for me. And then you keep the remaining one to give to your neighbor, to give to your husband, as the case may be. It is not advisable at all. Please don't share your medicines with your neighbor or with your husband or your spouse or your child, as the case may be. Now, let me just give you another story, another experience I've had. There was a time somebody asked somebody to come and see me in the pharmacy. And it was on a Sunday, and normally we don't open on Sundays. So she came and I wasn't around. Of course, we were not open. And she went to somewhere to complain that her baby is having an ear problem. And then the person now said, it's a very simple thing. I just put hydrogen peroxide and put some ear drop. And that's it will be fine. The hydrogen peroxide is going to clean the ear and what have you. And then it's a very small child, maybe about like less than 2 years. And then she bought the drugs, the ear drop, and then the hydrogen peroxide. Went home, I was, you know, pouring it in applying it into the baby's ear. Then on Monday, she came to our place and complained that, look at the pharmacist, and somebody has to come here. Look, I will look, this is what happened when I came. You were not around. I went to so and so place and I got these drugs. But the baby is crying because of the pain. So I told them to stop putting those into the ear and go to general hospital. I advised them when she gets to the general hospital, she should ask them of ENT department and then go there. Then after like 2 hours, she came back. I was very happy. She was thanking me, praying for me, as the case may be. So she told me that when she got there, she insisted that she wanted to go to ENT, and they directed her to the ENT, and then she met the medical doctors, who were annoyed that, why will pharmacy give you this kind of medicine? She told them that it's not the pharmacy that gave me this medicine, it's the pharmacy that said I should come here. And of course, they have instruments, these instruments they have, they look into the baby's ear, and then they put the instrument. So probably the baby was trying to clean her ear or something, just a cotton wool that she pushed into the ear. And you can imagine a cotton wool in the air, and then you are dropping hydrogen peroxide in it, you are dropping an ear drop into it, which is like dissolving the cotton wool and, you know, creating a very serious infection. So they brought it out, cleaned the ear, and then prescribed some drugs for her to get, which she came to show me, and I told her that it was okay. But the point I'm trying to make is this: we have to understand that if for a child who is less, who a child, especially infants, it's not advisable to be putting eardrop into their ear. You understand? Even pharmacies should, have that at the back of your mind. Medical doctors should also know that. You understand? Because I have seen situations whereby people came into a pharmacy to buy a drug for an eardrop for a child of that age. But sometimes when you tell them that, do you think that this is appropriate? They say, please give. I'm the one that have written it that way. And you find that on many occasions, the child will also still come down with the problem. So it's advisable that you give, if you think it's an infection, which most cases, maybe it's having otitis media, as the case may be, you give a drug that's appropriate for that reason, and not putting an ear drop when the baby has not been properly examined, because it happens in pharmacies, it happens in private hospitals. They do not have an ENT doctor, and then they just, they are just general practitioners. When you go, give you an ear drop and write for you to go and buy, collect that fees and what have you. So it's always advisable for us to be very professional in our dealings. Now, so this baby was fine. And of course, she was no longer crying because the pains were not there, because the writing has been done. Also, you also have people coming in to the pharmacy to tell you that they're having high blood pressure. Or maybe they come to complain that they're having headache and what have you. It's okay. Please go and check your BP. And when they check their BP, you find out that their BP is high. And you're like, your BP high, madam, are you on any medication? Have you been prescribed drug for your BP before? I tell you that, yes, of course, I have drug. I'm taking my drug for BP. So, okay, what drug are you taking for BP? And they will bring bromazepam for you, or the popularly known Lexotan or Talen, as the case may be. You're just shocked, like, excuse me, is this not a BP medicine? Say, that what I was prescribed? But you find out that they will tell you that what was prescribed, or what the pharmacy gave them, or what the pharmacy recommended for them, or what a medical doctor prescribed for them. But I tell you that most of the time, it's not true. It is their friend who actually gave them the drug. Or maybe because they went to a hospital and they complained that they're not sleeping, or maybe they're having a little bit of BP and the doctors just feel, okay, because you're not sleeping well, that's why you're having, your blood pressure is high. It's not a serious matter. So just take Lexotan so that you can sleep very well, and then the BP can drop. And of course, most of the time, they just start taking these drugs on their own. That is a very serious self-medication. And I tell you that this is very common with old women, the elderly in this part of the world. And it's a very serious problem that we all need to pay attention to. Somebody coming into the pharmacy to tell you that they want to buy bromazepam or Lexotan, Talen, as the case may be, it's advisable that the pharmacy finds out the reason why the person wants to buy it. And then they must come with a prescription, because it's a prescription-only medicine. And of course, there are some people that come with very dubious prescription. It's prescription or written normally, but when you're having a prescription from hospital or from a medical doctor, especially doctors in general hospital, for 2 months, like bromazepam 3 milligrams for 2 months, you know that this is wrong. It cannot be. It shouldn't be. You understand? There is no reason why somebody should be on 3 milligrams less than for 2 months. And of course, somebody who is on 3 milligrams, you should already know that the person is addicted, because probably the 1.5 milligram is no longer enough. And that's why the person has to be on 3 milligrams. And then when you get a prescription coming from a general hospital or from, a place that's recognized, like a legal premises or a legal institution, with this kind of prescription, of course, you have to understand that something is not right. Either the prescription was stolen and written, or there was some money that exchanged hand between the medical personnel and the patient, or the patient is close to the medical personnel who wrote the thing in the first place. And as a pharmacist, you are the gate between the drugs and the patient. So you have to advise the patient adequately on the reason why not to be on Lexotan or Bromazepam or Talen, as the case may be, for a very long period, as 2 or 3 months. Please, it's not advisable. I have seen a case where a woman came to me and, you know, brought a prescription to me, and I told her that we cannot give you this thing for this long. She said, why? So because the prescription is like 6 months old, and the drug was meant, the medicine, the prescription said it's for 2 weeks. So probably she has used that for 2 weeks, and she has been banding the prescription about and buying the drug whenever she sees, or whatever it can be dispensed to her. Unfortunately, when she came to our premises, we told her that it's not possible because we cannot give her that drug. And I said, okay, that she's going to call her doctor to talk to me. I said, I cannot talk to your doctor. What we need is a prescription. Now, if you must get a prescription, get your doctor, to write a prescription for you and bring it to me. And then she went ahead to call the doctor, and the doctor said, the doctor wants to speak to me. Well, out of courtesy, picked the phone, spoke with the doctor, and the doctor was enraged. Say, pharmacist, who do you think you are? I said, you should give her the medicine. She's my patient. You know, after shouting, I told her, sir, doctor, you know the procedure and you know the rules. You understand? Shouting over the phone to me is not going to change anything. I need the prescription. You understand? As far as I'm here in this pharmacy, she cannot get that medicine. She cannot get it without the prescription. And I'm very sorry about that. Give her the phone. So she went out. Then after like a minute, she came back. Said the doctor wants to speak to me. It's okay. Took the phone. And the doctor said, okay, pharmacy, please. She's my patient. I've been the one managing her. This, that, and that, and that. I said, doctor, sorry. I cannot give her the drug. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm sorry. I cannot give her the drug unless there is a prescription. So she left. So maybe 2 days later, she came back with a prescription now. So I said, okay, give her the drug, and she took the drug. Then when she left, when she got to the gate, she came back. She now asked me, the pharmacist, why are you insisting that you will not give me this drug? What is there? I buy it in all these places, even all these chemists. If I go there, they will give it to me. I said, why didn't you go to the chemist to buy? He said, no, because I wanted to ask you why you are insisting that you will not give me this medicine. So, okay, so I have to sit her down and educate her on the dangers of taking bromazepam for a very long time. Talk to her about the addictiveness of the drug. Talk to her how the addictiveness of that drug is insidious. It's not something that just happens. You understand? It's not something that you actually know that you are addicted to it. It's just like you are not going to sleep except you take the drug. And that's an addiction. And when I finished talking to this lady, you know, educating her on the drug, she was like, am I serious? Why didn't her doctor tell her? So what? Your doctor is a medical doctor and he's just interested in you getting better. But I'm a pharmacist. I'm interested in you taking the drug and the drug not causing you more problem. She told me that she's no longer interested in buying the drug. That what do I recommend? I said, just buy like a champagne night. And she took a champagne night, and we are very good friends now. It's been like 2-3 years ago. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's always advisable for the pharmacist to ask for the reason why a drug is given, especially when the prescription is suspicious. And then you educate, you know, the patient on the need to take the drug, you know, for the reasons being prescribed, and then the need for her not to share the medicine or give it to somebody else whom she thinks is having the same problem with her or him, as the case may be. Now, another case that I have come across is if somebody's baby is sick, she took the baby to General Hospital, and then they prescribed some drugs and they gave an amoxiclav. One of the drugs prescribed was an amoxiclav. She took the drugs and her baby was fine. And then she had a neighbor who was also sick, but not just sick, that baby is having diarrhea. And then she took the remaining amoxiclav that she used like a few days ago for her child and gave to her neighbor. Say, and when I went to hospital, this is what they gave me. And the way your baby, this hotness of temperature, everything is just like the way my baby was behaving. That's the symptom that my baby has. So you can use it The neighbor was very grateful and then started giving the her child the amoxiclav. But the child was very weak because she was stooling, was having diarrhea. Now, you have to understand that this is very wrong for many reasons. One of the reasons why it's wrong is that the main side effect of amoxiclav is diarrhea. Now, this baby is having diarrhea already, and you are giving an antibiotics, an amoxiclav antibiotics, to treat the problem. So now, the diarrhea got worse and the baby got weaker. But when she brought the baby to the pharmacy, we're like, oh no, please, you have to take the baby to the hospital. I have to make a small note, you know, just to give the medical doctor a background. And then she took the baby there, and of course, the baby, because I saw them a few days later, and the baby was very, very fine. But the point I'm trying to bring out is that it's not advisable for you to share your medicines. Your own medicine, the medicine for your kids, or the medicine for your husband, is not advisable. Okay? So we'll have to, you know, bear that at the back of our mind. Another thing that people do that, you know, that constitutes what a self-medication, your medicine sharing, as the case may be, people go to the labs on their own. For instance, somebody is having a pain in the stomach, or somebody is having a cold, a cough, and catarrh, and they just walk into the lab and say, I want to do a malaria and typhoid test. And of course, in Nigeria, from my experience, there is no way you will go to the lab and not come out with a malaria or a typhoid or both. Even if you finish central malaria now, if you go to the lab, you are still going to have a malaria and a typhoid. And so people just walk into the lab, bring in a lab result, and then walk into a pharmacy or walk into a pattern medicine shop and buy medicines and take. This is very dangerous. It's not advisable at all. We understand that most anti-malaria is part of the essential medicine list that, you know, can be recommended to you by a qualified health personnel, not especially a pharmacist, and of course can be prescribed by a medical doctor if the case needs that. Now, when you walk into, and people even go into a walk into the lab and do a test, and they run a sensitivity test. I've seen a situation whereby a lady brought a lab result she did. And when I looked at the lab results, and I saw that she had candida and yeast according to the test, but they ran a sensitivity test for antibiotics. And then in the sensitivity test, I saw that amoxil is +3. Then augmentin is R, that's resistant. Of course, I don't need a soothsayer to tell me that this lab is inadequate. This lab is intellectually bereft. You understand? And it's a very stupid lab. There is no way, theoretically speaking, there is no way that augmentin with an amoxiclav can be resistant and then amoxil is sensitive +3. For candida, it's crazy. You understand? So I had to sit this lady down and told her that what you are doing is very wrong. You understand? You should go to a medical doctor and let them send you for the particular test you are going to go for. Then when they send you for a particular test you are going to go for and they make their diagnosis, they write drugs for you. You can bring it to us. Let's look at them. You understand? And then dispense the drug as appropriate. She thanks me and then she went on to do that. So, but what the point we're trying to make that it's not advisable for somebody who is sick to just walk into the lab and say, I want to do this test, I want to do that test. And also the lab scientists, of course, I have come to understand that most of the labs where people go to do tests are not run by lab scientists. There are no lab scientists in those labs. They have lab technicians who do all sorts of, who bring out all sorts of results, do all sorts of tests, who just walk in there and write results for malaria and typhoid, and without adequate tests, without an adequate test being done. And it's not the right procedure is that when you're sick and you feel that, oh, this sickness needs me to do a test, go to a medical doctor, they examine you, send you for the test. Then you do the test. When the result is out, go to the medical doctor. When he's done the diagnosis and prescribe a drug for you, bring it to the pharmacy and get your drugs. That's the way. Don't allow a doctor to write a drug for you and also give you the drug. It's not advisable. It's not the right thing to do. He will write the drug, bring it to a pharmacy, and the pharmacist will give you the drug. That's the way. That's the right route. Because you know we are in Nigeria where everybody does what they like. Because I have come to understand there's a lot of stereotyping for pharmacists. You see, when you read a lot of write-ups online, when somebody has taken something, maybe take a drug, and something goes wrong, the writers, most of them medical doctors, most of them academians, they always have a way of bringing the pharmacist into the picture. You understand? Like the story I told you earlier of the girl that went to buy a sertraline or cotrimoxazole, as the case may be, from a patent medicine dealer. Before the pharmacy body did an investigation and unraveled the fact that that place is not a pharmacy, that there is no pharmacist there. The news all over the place that he went to a pharmacy, it's pharmacist that gave the drug, they are the one that gave the drug. I mean, pharmacy is in the best position to know that when somebody has taken a drug and reacted, pharmacy is the best position to know that it is a hypersensitive reaction. In fact, they are the only one that has the right to know. You understand? So people like that stereotype pharmacists a lot. People, you work in, someone has a problem and then they'll say it's because he went to a pharmacy to buy drugs. But when the NGOs are coming in, instead of working with the pharmacy, they prefer to work with patent medicine dealers. You understand? And when something goes wrong, they will try to find a way to bring in the pharmacy. There is, I have not seen any report, any official report, that inducted the patent medicine dealers. It's always the pharmacists are the one that gave the drug. The pharmacists are the one that is doing self making people to do self medication. The pharmacists are the one. They never see anything good about pharmacists. But I tell you that if the NGOs, the government will work with the pharmacy. I tell you that the pharmacy body in Nigeria, the ACPN, I've said it before in my previous podcast, they are one of the most organized professional body in Nigeria. I tell you, they can scale down and scale up, as the case may be, informations. You understand? So writing things that pharmacists are the cause of the reason why people are having medical errors, pharmacists are the reason why people are having this and that, I mean, it's very, very wrong. You have to work. In fact, I will advise any patient not to go to any hospital where there is no pharmacist. You understand? You see a lot of hospitals, they have pharmacy technicians, and their pharmacy technicians is the chief pharmacist. Not only in private hospital, most health centers in Lagos here are run by pharmacy technicians. They are the chief pharmacist there. They are the chief dispenser there, which is very, very wrong. It's not advisable for you to be getting your drug from a technician. And then when something goes wrong, now they will not say it's the technician, no. They will say it's the pharmacist. They will say, he went to a pharmacy to buy drug. They will not say that he went to a patent medicine shop or a patent medicine dealer or a chemist, as the case may be, to go and buy drug. They will say he went to the pharmacy to buy drugs. You understand what I mean? So these things are not advisable. Stop sharing your medicine with anybody. Stop diagnosing yourself and doing self-medication, as the case may be. It's not advice. It's very, very, very dangerous, because I've seen cases of people taking drugs that are not meant for them, and they come in with an illness that was never meant to be there in the first place, especially herbal medicines. When people who have, if you have opportunity to go to dialysis centers and see people who are on that, who are having kidney failure, as the case may be, most of them are people who has been on herbal medicines for a long time. I'm not saying that herbal medicine is wrong. I'm a pharmacist. I did pharmacognosy, which is a herbal aspect of pharmacy practice. But what we are saying is that it's not advisable for you to take things they mix that you don't know. You understand? If you want to prepare, like in this part of the world, people, a lot of people take what we call a herbal mixture that we'll refer to as agbo. If you decide to prepare the agbo yourself, that's fine. If you go to people that sell, these women that sell it in the market, and you buy it, you wash it, and then you prepare it yourself, that's fine. But the one people who prepare it for commercial purposes or commercial quantities to sell, I tell you that there are so many things they add in those things to get better results that you don't know. And the consequences of those drugs is better imagined than experienced. So I want to advise that the health bodies should stop stereotyping pharmacists. In fact, pharmacist is a very important profession. Pharmacists will save people a lot of money, will save lives, when all the health professionals come together as a professional body to work together. And I'm happy with what the PSN and the NMA are doing, trying to come up with them with a working document, you know, that will benefit the patient very, very well and define the professional boundaries. And hopefully it will not be lost in political war or in in supremacy war between these two professional bodies. So it is not advisable to be taking medicines on your own. It is not advisable for you to share medicines with somebody. It is not advisable for you to walk into the lab and just run a test on your own. When you go to a lab, please insist that you need a lab that has a lab scientist in it. When you go there, say, I want to do a test and I want you to see the lab scientist. You understand? When the lab scientist does, of course, there is also this aspect of medic, I think it's pathologists or stuff like that, that do the interpretations and what have you. Those people should be there. You understand? Now, and also you have to understand that one of the reasons people do self-medication is that waiting time. They don't want to go to a hospital and be wasting their time, or come to a pharmacy and then waste their time. I've seen people come into a pharmacy and maybe the pharmacist is busy with something and they just get annoyed, buy their drug and go. Last week I had an experience. A woman came into the pharmacy with a prescription that was given to her in May. I told her that, sorry, this prescription for Nystatin, we cannot dispense this drug for you because the prescription is old. And she was enraged. And she insulted me and told me that, am I the one taking the drug? Is it my body that I'm taking it? That she just gave me a prescription, that she just forgot the prescription in her car. Yeah, it just remembered. I said, madam, I'm not quarreling with you. But the thing is that if you want us to give you this drug, we need a new prescription. She was mad. She shouted and shouted and shouted. And of course, shouting is not going to bring down the roof. Somebody once said, no matter how high the devil is, it cannot be higher than the Most High. So she was just annoyed, and at the end of the day, you have to talk to her, and she refused to listen to anything that was in the book. We already made our stand very known. We cannot give her the drug. And then she took the prescription away, and we never saw her again. So whatever she wants to do with prescription is up to her. But the most important thing is that we have given her the information that she needs, that this drug cannot be dispensed. And it's advisable that she get another one from her, another prescription from her medical doctor. So whatever she wants to do, maybe based on pride or whatever, she already knows that a pharmacist told her that it's not advisable. Well, thank you very much for staying with us on this episode of the Pharmacy Watch podcast. And we hope you have received some information. We hope you have been educated. We hope that you have learned one or two things from self-medication, medicine sharing, and stereotyping a pharmacist. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pharmacy Watch, capital letter D, Pharmacy Watch. You can follow us on Instagram or at The Pharmacy Watch, THE Pharmacy Watch, The Pharmacy Watch. You can follow us on Facebook on THE Pharmacy Watch, The Pharmacy Watch. So thank you very much for listening to us. I will see you next week. Thank you.